Good morning, everybody. Hello and welcome to this morning service. For those who don't know me, my name is Gareth Bodvey. I'm one of the leaders here, and Martin is going to come and bring God's word to us later on. It's so good to see you all once again. It feels like I've been ages away from this church. Someone actually came up and reintroduced themselves to me. I've been away so long. So let's come and praise God this morning. I'm going to read a couple of verses from a passage in Ephesians, then from one of the Psalms. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God, the Father, for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm going to read from Psalm 33. Sing joyfully to the Lord, you righteous. It is fitting for the upright to lift to praise him. Praise the Lord with the harp. Make music to him with the ten-string lyre. Sing to him a new song. Play skillfully and shout for joy. This morning, our only command — they've got a different command because they're the worship group — our only command is to come and to bring our praise joyfully to God. They, as the worship group, have to play skillfully. No pressure, Sam. But all we've got to do is praise the Lord our God, singing our praises to him this morning. Let's stand and sing our first two songs this morning.
Blessed are you, the God of our ancestors, worthy to be praised and exalted forever. Blessed is your holy name and glorious name, worthy to be praised and exalted forever. Blessed are you in your holy and glorious temple, worthy to be praised and exalted forever. Blessed are you who took to the depths, worthy to be praised and exalted forever. Blessed are you enthroned on the cherubim, worthy to be praised and exalted forever. Blessed are you on the throne of your kingdom, worthy to be praised and exalted forever. Blessed are you in the heights of heaven, worthy to be praised and exalted forever. Bless the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, worthy to be praised and exalted forever. Amen. Please do take a seat. We come to what some call the most exciting part of our morning worship, and the regulars will immediately know that's the intimations, if you're Scottish, or notices from the rest of the UK. We've got quite a list this morning, because you can tell it's new term and people are back in. So, in no particular order, where's Gordon? Have we got a lollipop, Mike? Ah. You might want to check that's on.
Martin told me I've got less than 5 seconds today. Folks, it's Operation Christmas Child time. I've got loads of flat boxes like that, that come out like that, and I've got the leaflets that go with them. If you don't know what it is, come and see me. All I say is that 1 in 4 children who receive a shoebox get to know Jesus, and then they bring their friends and their family to know Jesus as well. And also, last year, 51% of the children who received shoeboxes from the UK are in marginalised and persecuted countries for Christians. So come and see me. I'm in the hall afterwards.
Was that quick enough?
Yeah. Thank you. No pressure for time then, Rachel. You're next. No pressure.
Morning, everyone. So my name's Rachel, for those of you who don't know me, and I have the great privilege of coordinating the food bank that we run out of this church. And I was really inspired last week by Martin's preach to pray for other parts of the church and things that are going on. So that inspiration led me to be challenged, because those of you who know me will know this is my least favourite part of the job. And if you don't know what I've said at the end of the session, do come find me. I'm much better one-on-one. To stand up and make sure that everyone knows actually how to find out what the food bank is doing so you can pray. Because if I'm just doing it on my own with the group of volunteers, we won't be working to the mission. I just want to let you know that we do have a Facebook page. So if you are on Facebook, if you can find us and follow us, that would be great. I'm guessing Paul's out back. He's not here. Paul does our social media, and I think he said something about Instagram as well. So for those of you who are younger than me, because I'm the dinosaur generation that only does Facebook, follow us on Instagram. And if we're not there, why don't you come see me, and maybe you can be our link between me and those who are younger. And on the Facebook group, you will see, if you are following us, that we now have a newsletter. Did anyone not know we had a newsletter? Yeah, we have a newsletter. So I've got a couple of copies that are at the back of the church. It is also on our Facebook page. So if you want to keep up with what's going on, that's a great way to do it. But what I'm actually up here for as well is some volunteers. So we have two things coming up. One is a food boost. We've been running a couple. They're a great opportunity for people in the community who are struggling with food to come along, have some food, get to know us as a church. We've run pop-ups for things like BRCC. It's a great time. We spend time together. And if you are not able to volunteer with us on a regular basis, really, really great way to come and find out what we're up to. And the other thing is we've got harvest approaching. So we've got 3 harvest collections that are coming up, and I'm going to need people with cars who are able to come and help. And the first one is at Edward Peak on Friday the 3rd of October in the morning. I've got to be in two places at once, so if we can definitely have volunteers for that, it would be really helpful because I'm currently running CAP. And the other one is on Friday the 24th of October. Again, in two places at once, because both sites at St Andrews are doing 3:30 at the same time. So if you're able to help with any of those things, please do. If you've got any questions, please come see me. And yeah, follow us on Facebook and read the newsletter. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Okay.
I've not got notices. I'm bringing the reading for today. So the reading today is from the book of Romans, and it's Romans chapter 12, and reading verses 1 to 13. Romans chapter 12. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honour one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervour, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality.
Thank you, Helen. So, funny enough, there's two aspects there, and I've just gone and lost my order of service. Have you nicked it? No? Oh, well, that'll be fun. Oh, there it is there. No, no, no. It's disappeared. That'll be fun. I don't know the next part. Rachel's got it. Fine. So there's two aspects coming up that we can show hospitality and unity. Excellent. Thank you. I'll find Rachel later on. So one of the things coming up on the 5th of October is the International Food Day here at BBC. So Irene's volunteering to run it, so that's fantastic. But the idea being is we all bring food from our home nation. Haggis, fantastic. So you can all bring food from your home nation and share with each other doing that. It's also Harvest Day. Thank you, Martin, on that aside. As a church, we do like food, and next Saturday morning, my other plug, it's men's breakfast. So I will be sending out an email about that to the guys. But if you want to register for that, either come and see me this morning and give me the details, or you can register on Church Suite. Another plug for Church Suite. If you haven't already registered for Church Suite, we can sign you up for that so you can see what's going on in the life of the church. You can get the prayer emails, you can get the notice sheet, and you can sign up for as many rotas as you want to. Isn't that fun? Thank you. Just a quick notice for Sunday Club. You will be going out at the end of communion after the song After Communion. And that'll be obvious when that takes place. I think that's it in terms of notices and readings. We're going to move to a time of communion. And our table here is welcome to anybody who loves and serves the Lord.
if Lord Jesus Christ is your Lord and Master, this table is open to you as part of our worship here this Sunday morning. We're going to go into a couple of times of couple of songs of meditation and prayer, and I'll lead you through the communion service. So, Sam, thank you.
Stand.
All my words fall short. I've got nothing new. How could I express all my gratitude? I could sing these songs as I often do.
Try that again.
Thank you.
Savior, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are.
You are
way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are.
Please do take a seat. So we celebrate communion together, and you can see the bread and the wine. It is not vegan bread. What is it? Gluten-free bread, and it is non-alcoholic wine, for those that need to know these things. We're going to come and share this together, and it is our practice that we have the bread first, and we have that individually, and then we have the wine together, showing our unity in Christ. As I said earlier on, it is open to all those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'll leave it with parents to discuss that with your children at the appropriate time. I'm just going to lead us in a prayer, and then we're going to have a joint prayer that's going to come on the screen, and we're going to share that prayer together. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to be our advocate in heaven, and to bring us eternal life. Let us confess then our sins in penance in faith, firmly resolving to keep God's commands and to live in love and peace with all people. I'll let Jan do with this work. I'll let Jan do it. The gizmo doesn't seem to be working. Yeah. We're going to say this prayer together. Is it there? It's not working at all. Right, that will... Try that now? No? Okay, we won't do that. I'll read this passage from 1 Corinthians 11. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it, saying, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took a cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me." We're going to now share the bread together. So if I could have some volunteers to come in to share the bread round, and we'll share that together. Thank you. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbour in thought, in word, in deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that this is past, and grant us that we may serve you in newness of life to the glory of your name. Amen. Amen. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your Son's body broken for us and the blood spilled for us. We thank you for this. Amen. And as I said, we will retain the cup and drink together. This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me, Jesus said. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.
we gather around the communion table, we often have some kind of family events to celebrate or to involve each other in. And today is no exception. Might be a bit of a surprise for some of you. But just under 2 weeks ago, Bradley and Hannah got married. They're a sneaky pair. They've asked if we can pray with them and for them this morning as their church family, and to ask God to bless their relationship. So that's what we're going to do. Come here. Nice to see Bradley dressed up for the occasion. So, first of all, we're going to pray, and then I'm just going to ask them to reaffirm their wedding vows. Then I'm going to invite everybody to stand, and hopefully, not yet, hopefully the words for the prayer of blessing will come up on the screen. Living, loving God, we thank you for bringing Bradley and Hannah together, both in faith in Jesus and in love for each other. Thank you that marriage is your idea for the blessing not just of the couple, but for the wider community and society in which they live. And thank you that in their marriage they have already declared they want it to be built on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, so that they may reflect your love in their relationship and grow closer to Jesus together. As we stand before you now, we ask that you would fill their hearts with your presence, with the love of Christ, and with the power of the Holy Spirit as they seek to live lives that honour you. And may we, as their church family, do all that we can to support them and encourage them, starting right here and now as we witness this blessing today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hey, would you take a couple of steps forward, please? Both of you, yes. Right, I'm just going to stand here. Turn around. That's it, and face each other. That's it. None of that.
None of that.
Hold your hands, that's fine. So Bradley, repeat after me, please. Hannah, I love you.
Hannah, I love you.
And I thank God for bringing you into my life.
And I thank God for bringing you into my life.
Standing in his presence.
Standing in his presence.
And in the presence of our church family.
And in the presence of our church family.
I declare my commitment to you as your husband.
I declare my commitment to you as your husband.
I give thanks that you are sharing my life and my faith.
I give thanks that you are sharing my life and my faith.
All that I am.
All that I am.
And all that I have.
And all that I have.
I willingly continue to share with you.
I willingly continue to share with you.
Whatever the future holds.
Whatever the future holds.
I will continue to love you.
I will continue to love you.
And stand by you.
And stand by you.
As long as we both shall live.
As long as we both shall live.
In the name of God the Father.
In the name of God the Father.
God the Son.
God the Son.
And God the Holy Spirit.
And God the Holy Spirit.
Okay, your turn. Nice and loud. Hannah, repeat after me. Bradley, I love you.
Bradley, I love you.
And I thank God for bringing you into my life.
And I thank God for bringing you into my life.
Standing in his presence.
Standing in his presence.
And in the presence of our church family.
And in the presence of our church family.
I declare my commitment to you as your wife.
I declare my commitment to you as your wife.
I give thanks that you are sharing my life and my faith.
I give thanks that you are sharing my life and my faith.
All that I am.
All that I am.
And all that I have.
And all that I have.
I willingly continue to share with you.
I willingly continue to share with you.
Whatever the future holds.
Whatever the future holds.
I will continue to love you.
I will continue to love you.
And stand by you.
And stand by you.
As long as we both shall live.
As long as we both shall live.
In the name of God the Father.
In the name of God the Father.
God the Son.
God the Son.
And God the Holy Spirit.
And God the Holy Spirit.
Thank you both. Please turn and face the congregation. We've heard Bradley and Hannah declare their love for each other and their hope and trust in God who brought them together. As their church family, it's our joy and our calling to support them and encourage them. And we can start today by congratulating them and by seeking God's blessing upon them. So I believe the normal way of congratulation is a round of applause. Go to their heads otherwise. Gosh. I ask everybody to stand, please. And can we have the words up, please, Jan? Thank you. Okay, so I'd like... Normally, this is something I just get to say on my own, but I thought it would be really, really lovely if we all said it together. So, together we pray for Brad and Hannah. Bradley and Hannah, may the riches of God's grace be upon you, that you may continue in faith and love, and receive the blessings of God in this life and the next. May the Lord bless you and guard you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look kindly on you and give you peace. Amen. Please be seated. Please be seated. And I do believe they've brought their wedding book with them this morning. So if anyone would like to write a nice message in the wedding book, then please do have a go outside afterwards. I mean, outside in the back hall. We're going to sing. It's a song that Brad and Hannah chose, or probably Hannah chose, actually. And Brad's doing as he's told already. And at the end of this song, children are going to go out to their classes. So let's stand. Line doesn't really work for marriage very well, does it? Carry on.
So when I find wait for the folks from the overflow to come on in. There's a few in the second row. You're safe from the front row. Excellent. Good. Just a couple of extra notices, which I didn't get a chance earlier on before Gareth dived in with something else. Tonight we have our monthly Connect prayer, starting at 6:30 till 7:30. A chance to come and to spend some time in God's presence and to seek Him for our church life and for the life of our community and our world. And tonight's going to be really, really good because I'm not leading it. Jill White's in charge tonight, so please do come along, support Jill. It's going to be really good, a time to get together and to pray and to hear from God in a different way than we do in the morning. Secondly, church members, we have a church members meeting on the 28th of September at 6:30. We need to be quorate for that, so please do make it a priority to come along for that. Thank you. Okay. Did anybody notice how this morning's passage started? Oh, it was a long time ago, wasn't it? It was at least 20 minutes ago. Come on. Thank you, Carol. We can always rely on Carol. Today's passage starts with a... I didn't hear Chris. Carol's got a bigger voice. Oh, did anybody else say therefore? Just wants to be included. Well done. You're not. Yeah, we start with a therefore. Normally a therefore comes in the middle of something. So we are jumping in a little bit into the middle of something that Paul's doing here. And what this passage is it's directly connected to the previous 11 chapters of the book of Romans. I did think that might be just a little bit of a long reading to have this morning. But if you do get the opportunity to read through Romans 1 to 11 this afternoon or later this week, please do take it. But basically, the first 11 chapters are all about theology, teaching the Romans who God is, what he's done in Christ, talking especially about the cross and the way Jesus releases us from condemnation and brings us into God's family. It's that lovely chapter, Romans 8. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ. Hallelujah. Ooh. Mmm. There was a definite mmm there. Okay, we're warming up, aren't we? That's good. That's good. To put it simply, Paul is saying, because of what Jesus has done, because of what you now know, this is what you do with it. Or in the context we're in right now here at BBC, once we've made our relationship with God our priority, and we've made it our priority to seek his presence in every part of our life, here are some of the signs that we should see in our lives. This is very practical. It's also very challenging because as we go through some of these, we might think, oh, crumbs, that's not me at all. Or we might feel a bit self-satisfied, going, yeah, tick those off. This is not to make anybody feel awful. It is not to make anybody feel self-satisfied. It's to help us understand what it is that God wants of us. And God recognizes that we are on a journey. I remember years and years ago, I think it was when I was at university, actually, so it was a long time ago, somebody had a T-shirt which said something like, please be patient with me, God hasn't finished yet. Or another one was under construction, but I think that might have been a pregnant lady somewhere else, but there we go, anyway. But verses 1 to 3 are crucial in this, so we're going to read them again. Paul says, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Several things just jump out from those verses that need to be thought about a little bit. First of all, why does Paul use the term living sacrifices? Well, the first time I heard that, I think I possibly went to Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom, where they actually show a living sacrifice. I won't go into the gruesome details now, because there are still some young people in here. But there are some pagan religions where they actually took a living person and sacrificed them. Obviously, once they sacrificed them, they weren't living anymore. You understand that? They were dead. And Paul uses the term living sacrifices because he wants us to realize that something has changed. Up until Jesus, and when Jesus gave his life on the cross for us, every sacrifice was a dead one. Usually a sheep was killed to atone for the people's guilt. I tried really hard not to find a cute picture of a sheep. Didn't work. And this was repeated over and over again. Every year there was a massive festival. A sheep was chosen and it was slain in order to pay for the sins of the people. The sheep did not get up again and walk off back to the sheep pen. It was an ex-sheep. It had ceased to be. But because Jesus died and then rose from the dead, that system is now outdated. It's discarded. It's not needed anymore. We don't need to take a living thing and kill it to atone for our sins, because Jesus offered himself as the Lamb of God, as the sacrifice for our sins, and then he rose from the dead. And our response to that is to present ourselves as living sacrifices. In other words, nothing else matters, Jesus. I give everything that I am and everything that I have to you. Not to get God to like me, not to get God to forgive me or to bless me, because God's done all that already. He's done all that in Jesus. This is my response. As Jesus made himself a sacrifice for us, we are called to make sacrifices for him. And Paul says something really interesting about this. He says this is our act of spiritual worship. Over the years, in the churches that I've been part of, there have been what have come to be known as the worship wars. Some of you may have been involved in these worship wars. Some of you may have been injured in these worship wars. Some of you may still carry the scars today. And some of you are going, what on earth are you talking about? Worship wars occur when one part of a church says, we only want to sing the new songs and we want to have a band. And another part of the church says, no, we've got to stay with the hymns, because they're obviously anointed, whereas some of these new songs aren't. And we've got to have the hymns, otherwise it's not proper worship. And we don't want any of this waving your hands around and clapping and cheering and things like that in church either. And sometimes the worship wars are actually most clearly demonstrated between the pastor and the worship leader. Thank the Lord that doesn't happen here. I remember years ago, we were leading a service at a church in Halifax in Yorkshire. We'd just done a week's holiday club up there, and they'd asked the holiday club team to lead the service. So I presented the order of service to the organist, who said, I'm not playing that newfangled thing. Shine, Jesus, shine, Hannah. Where are you? The organist flatly refused to play Shine, Jesus, Shine. Now, you may have your own opinion on that, and you may think yay for the organist, or you may think boo for the organist, whatever. But it's like, whoa, this was the first time I'd encountered this. And sadly, churches have split over different styles of worship. And the reason for that, I think, one is we've let the devil get in and help us forget what true worship actually is. And two, we focused on worship on a Sunday rather than actually worship as a lifestyle. And what Paul's talking about here is he's talking about laying down our whole lives, everything we do from the moment we wake up to the moment we go to sleep, everything we do, We lay down as a sacrifice of love and of worship to Jesus. The stuff we do on a Sunday is fantastic, but that's not the true meaning of worship that Paul is talking about here. If we go to the Message translation, I do love this. He says, take your ordinary everyday life and place it before God as an offering. Do you know what that says? That says that God is interested in your ordinary everyday life. You might think that your life doesn't amount to very much. You might think your life's a bit boring and a bit, you might be in a bit of a rut, or you don't feel like you're making much of a difference. But when we take our ordinary everyday life and place it before God as an offering, that's saying it has significance and it has meaning. And it says that God is interested in that. So if you think through your ordinary everyday life and the things that you do, this is where the challenges start to come, by the way. What does it mean to be a living sacrifice in your ordinary everyday life? What does it mean to place every day before God as an offering? The way we greet our family in the morning. The way we drive our car to work. The way we treat other motorists. Especially if they cut us up or try and push us off the road. The way we do our work. Treat our colleagues. Look after ourselves. Everything. And if we're not at work, if we're unemployed at the moment, you know what? God's interested in that as well. What are you doing in that? Bring that. God, I haven't got any work today to do, but I want to offer you this day as an act of worship, as a living sacrifice because of what Jesus has done for me. Then he goes on, he says, embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. Embracing what God does for you. What does God do for us? God gives us a saviour. God promises his spirit. God promises to be with us, to never leave us or forsake us. And God promises that he has a plan for us that we can follow through our life, no matter what the circumstances of that life bring. It's what our friends at LICC call whole life worship. 24/7. If we limit our definition of worship to coming to services, we miss the point. Because if what we do on a Sunday doesn't come out of a lifestyle of worship, that is living according to God's word, then it is not really worship at all. It goes back again to that pursuit and recognition of God's presence in our lives, knowing that he is for us and with us and in us, which changes the way we think and live. So there you go, that's how we are transformed by the renewing of our minds. We let our minds understand that God is for us, that God is with us, and through his spirit, God is in us. And we start to look at life and the world and the universe and everything else through the lens of God's love and God's power in our lives, rather than through our own very limited vision. That changes the way we think, it changes the way we live, and it enables us to be sure of what God's will is. We allow God's word to influence and impact our thinking so that we stand out from the thinking of our present generation. If I was to say, put your hand up if you despair at the thinking of our present generation, I guess most of you would put your hands up. As we look around the world, we despair at the thinking we see in countries around the world, in our own country. God has a better way, and that better way starts with us presenting our bodies as living sacrifices and being transformed by the renewing of our mind, so that we can not only stand against the present thought, but we can challenge it and encourage it, and rather than let the thought of the day lead us away from God, we can challenge that and encourage people towards God as we change from the inside out. And let's not forget, there's no sacred secular divide in the life of a Christian. Okay, we don't just be holy for the couple of hours we're here on a Sunday and for our small groups during the week, and then we go back to being normal, whatever normal is. My eldest daughter, bless her, when she was born, one of our friends said, poor Becca, she's going to grow up thinking that Martin's normal. It's all relative in all sorts of ways, isn't it? Everything that we do, everything that we can say, wherever we go, can be an act of worship to God. And that makes life different. It gives us a different perspective, and it gives us a different objective as well. And that objective is to worship God because of what he's done for us in and through Jesus Christ. Paul then pushes his point home by reminding the church of their responsibilities to one another. Because part of offering your body as a living sacrifice, part of being transformed by the renewing of your mind, is you have a new understanding of community. You have a new understanding of responsibility. You have a new understanding of availability. The church becomes our new community and is called to be an example to the wider community in which it belongs. And Paul says that if you are a Christian, if you are part of a local church, you have a responsibility to the other people in that local church. You have a responsibility to others, and they have a responsibility to you. And he talks, there's a short list of gifts that he has there. And he says, you know, if your gift is teaching, then teach. If it is leading, then lead diligently, and so on and so forth. If it is giving, give generously. There's something for everybody there. And Paul says the point here is that if we are living sacrifices, if we are worshipping God 24/7, day in, day out, that will be seen in the wider life of our church. It's what we were thinking about last week. Every member of the body has a role to play. Every Christian has a gift to bring to bless the church family and to enable the church family to bless the wider community. They're not our gifts to keep. They're our gifts to give away. And when we all exercise our gifts, some of which are listed here, you know what happens? The church flourishes, the church grows, and the community around it is blessed. And people's lives are changed, and God's love is spread throughout the community. Now, here's the next challenge, because research has shown, this was true when I was at Bible College a million years ago, and it's still true today, that in most churches, only 20% of the body exercise their gifts in the life of the church. 20%. If your physical body was only working at 20%, you'd try and get an appointment at the doctor's. And I say try, for obvious reasons. If your physical body was only working at 20%, your nearest and dearest would be concerned about you. Yet for so many years in so many churches, we've been content to allow 20% of our body to bear the majority of the responsibility. It's called the 80-20 divide, for obvious reasons, because 20% plus 80% equals 100%. Even I can do that maths. Imagine what would happen if 50% of the body started recognizing and exercising its gifts. We'd still want to go to the doctors, wouldn't we? If only 50% of my body was working, I'd still want to go to the doctors to find out what's wrong with the other 50%. But imagine, that's more than double what we're talking about at the moment. What gift has God given you? What really makes your heart burn with passion? What gets you excited? What gives you that, I really want to get involved in that? And if there's something that's like that in your life, come and see me. Come and see one of the elders. come and talk to one of the deacons, and we'll give you the opportunity to explore and exercise those gifts, because those gifts are given for the health of the body, and those of us in leadership want this body to be as healthy as possible. Amen? Well, hey, got there. Ow, that was my bad knee. Oh. And we said amen as well. That's very American, isn't it? Next, from verse 9, Paul gets very serious about how we should live. Love must be sincere, hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honour one another. Never be lacking in zeal. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. What a list! There's about 12 weeks worth of sermons just in that list. We're going to do them all right now. No, we're not. I just want to stop at verse 13 and reflect on a couple of things. First of all, Paul says, let your love be sincere, not an act, not a veneer. Choose to love one another and choose to show that love. Make love the most important thing in our lives. First of all, the agape love that God shows to us and we show to him and to each other, but also this thing called filio, brotherly love. We're a family and we're to love one another and seek the best for one another. And you know, we need to remember we're a family in the positive way, okay? Another story from our ancient history. We went to visit a church with a view of joining it when we were living just outside of Peterborough many, many, many years ago. We'd actually found a church in Peterborough and they decided that they didn't want us. Now, they said, there's a church closer to your home, why don't you try that first? Which I still think meant they didn't want us, but there you go. And we went to this church. I may have told this story before, forgive me if I have. Ali's heard it several times and she lived it as well, obviously. It was a dark night, so it was either sort of September, October, November sort of time. She's not correct to me, so I must be right for once. We got there for the evening service. There were no lights on outside the front of the church. There were no doors open. So we tried the door, and it opened. I can't remember if it opened with a creak or not, but that would certainly have added to the suspense. And we walk in to find another set of doors closed. But okay, we come this far, let's keep going. Open the next door, and we step into this little sanctuary, and there's a group of about 10 people down the front. And I kid you not, as we came in through the door, they stopped what they were doing and they all turned round and looked at us. And then somebody said, we're family here. Somehow we made it through the service, but we never went back. That's not the sort of family I'm talking about. That's kind of like the Adams family, isn't it? We're not like that. Hopefully we're not like that here. It's the positive, loving side of being family, putting one another first, loving one another, seeking the best for one another. And contrary to the pattern of this world, love does mean sometimes saying, I don't know what those pictures are for now, I've completely got lost. Love sometimes means saying no or calling someone out for doing something wrong. Let's get off of that one as well. Oh, there's another one, look. Okay, there we go. Yeah, he's calling somebody out about doing something wrong there. There's one at the front going, you shouldn't be doing that. Right, Gordon, you shouldn't be doing that. Or in the immortal words of Father Ted, down with that sort of thing. Oh, just lost my notes. And here's something that you might find quite shocking. Paul says it's okay to hate. I'll say that again. Paul says it's okay for God's people to hate. You're waiting for the punchline, aren't you? Not other people. Paul says, hate what is evil. Hate what is evil. Have nothing to do with it. Stand up against it. Challenge it where we see it at work. Don't make excuses for it in our own life or in the life of others or in the life of a group we like because they say some things that we like. Too often we make excuses and justify something that's evil. But Paul says we are to hate it because it's evil that caused the fall of Adam and Eve. It's evil that caused the imprisonment of all their descendants, including us. It's evil that led to the death of Jesus. It's hateful, and we are to have nothing to do with it except this. Exercise your God-given authority over it and tell it to be gone. We are to be zealous for the Lord, enthusiastic in our faith. Amen? And committed to showing the world that we are different because of Jesus. Third question, I think it's the third question, I've lost count. Third challenge, do we hate evil? Do we hate evil when we see it on the news? This is supplementary to the third question. Do we hate evil when we see it in the eyes of other people? Do we hate evil when we see it in ourselves? Not quite so sure on that one, are we? Do we justify it sometimes? Yes. Paul says, hate it, have nothing to do with it. Big challenge there. And then really practically at the end, Paul returns to what we were thinking about last week, which I hope is this next picture. No, it's not. I'm really out of sync. Where are we? There we go. That's them having a meal, isn't it? Yeah. Share with God's people who are in need. If you see someone who's struggling financially with food, in any kind of area of life, and you're able to help, share. Help. Be generous with what God has given you. Be generous with your time, your money, your wisdom, your love. And then he says, practice hospitality. I love this, because when you think about practicing, you've got to keep doing it till you get it right. So keep inviting people to your house for a meal until you get it right. I think out of all the people that I know, I think Mike and Heather Sladen are the ones who practice that the most. And I don't think that's because they don't get it right. Fantastic. And it's such a mark of being a Christian, being a living sacrifice, that we practice hospitality, opening our homes to each other, inviting people for meals. So I said this last week, but it's worth repeating again, because it's about being invested in our whole church family, aware of the needs of others and willing to open our homes. And if our love is sincere, remember that right at the beginning, Paul said love must be sincere, and if we're devoted to one another, and if we hate evil, we will get to know and trust one another well enough to be able to operate in this way, sharing our God-given gifts with each other, whether those gifts are spiritual or practical, although, of course, in God's kingdom, there is no difference between the two. If you've got a leaky toilet and there's someone in the church who's a plumber, that's their spiritual gift. It's part of their being a living sacrifice for Christ. If your Wi-Fi's gone down and there's somebody here who's good with Wi-Fi stuff, that's their spiritual gift, and so on and so forth. Challenging words, which leave us with some things to think about around worship, around our thinking, how we live our lives. Sunday gatherings are great, but they're just one part of the worship we bring to God throughout the week. A bit like the icing on the cake, if you like. Or my favourite illustration is the frothy bit on top of the Coke when you pour it out. It's nice and it's tingly, but it's only there because of what's underneath. Yeah? The more we worship God and the more we live as living sacrifices during the week, the more vibrant and powerful and exciting our worship will be on a Sunday morning. Because what we do on a Sunday morning comes out of a heart of worship, or it should do. And that's the kind of church I want to belong to. Anybody else? About three of you. Okay, that's good. If we want to sense God's presence more on a Sunday, we need to practice looking for his presence during the week. I'm going to say one more thing that's quite radical. A good service on Sunday doesn't depend on the worship leader or on the preacher or on the songs or hymns that are chosen. It depends on each and every one of us and how we come into that service with a heart ready to worship God. So what is God saying to us this morning about all this? Going to spend a moment in quiet, ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to us individually about what he is saying, and also to ask him to speak to us as a church family, and then we'll sing our last song and go home and think about it and read Romans 1-11 and determine to live our everyday ordinary lives as an act of worship to our great God and King. Let's be quiet before him now. What's the Spirit saying to my heart? What's he challenging in my life? What's he encouraging me to do? Maybe he's revealing a gift. I'm getting a bit excited about the thought of that gift. We need to do something about that. Maybe it's something as simple as recognizing there's no sacred, secular divide, but that all of our lives are important to God. Maybe somebody this morning, you just need to hear that you might think your life isn't going anywhere, it's not important, but God is interested in every single aspect, every single part of your life, and he loves you, and he wants you to know that this morning. How we respond to what God has said is up to us as individuals, but
If you'd like to get some prayer at the end of the service, the prayer team will be down the front here, or you can grab one of the leadership team, or you can just turn to the person next to you and ask them to pray with you. But if God is speaking, if God is stirring something, then don't leave without doing something about it. And let's remember, it's all because of his mercy and because of his grace that have already been poured out into our lives through Jesus. Let's stand and sing our final song, Your Grace is Enough. Promise is that we have his presence in us to live lives that honour him. So may we go from this place this morning filled afresh with his spirit, filled afresh with an excitement about what God can do in our ordinary everyday lives, and filled with a commitment to live for him, the one who lived and who died and who rose again for us. And may our worship be pleasing to him because it comes out of a lifestyle that is based around sacrifice for Jesus every single day. And may his blessing, the blessing of God our Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, rest on us, flow through us and out from us as we live our lives for him every day until he returns or calls us home. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen.